Second Peter chapter 1, we'll be reading the first 15 verses. We'll read these verses responsively. Verses 1 through 15, page 1317. Let's please stand for the reading of this portion of Scripture. We'll read the verses responsively as usual. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Let's read together also the 15th verse. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful book you've given. And thank you for the wonderful day of the week we call Sunday. Thank you for this wonderful place where we gather. And thank you for a man of God who faithfully preaches to us. We pray that you'd bless this service now in the special way, that way that you have in mind, and give us thy mind in the service. And if we're to have that, then we're going to have to pay careful attention to what you've prepared for us through the preacher. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open your Bibles, if you would, again, back to 2 Peter chapter 1, and leave them open while I'm preaching tonight. I'll be referring to it from time to time, 2 Peter chapter 1. The title of my message tonight is How to Be a Better Soul Winner, How to Know Jesus Better, How to Be in God's Will Always, How to Never Doubt Your Salvation, and How to Never Fall. Ms. Mischick, who's in charge of the tape, suggested that, I think it's her, somebody suggested we put the title on one tape and the sermon on another tape. But I got 4 out of 5 this morning, and 4 out of 5 is not bad. But that's the sermon, How to Be a Better Soul Winner, How to Know Jesus Better, How to Be in God's Will Always, How to Never Doubt Your Salvation, and How to Never Fall. I want you to follow me very carefully, because to me, this is one of the most amazing passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. Our Heavenly Father, we come tonight to discuss these things. My soul, what a Scripture this must be, if it teaches us all these things. Thank you for the Bible. Help us to learn it tonight. to learn a truth that will totally transform our lives. Amen. Now, I want to say this before I read the Scripture tonight. You listen carefully. If you're one of the people that wants to be a better soul winner, tonight I'm giving you a guaranteed course. It never fails. It will not fail. It'll make you a better soul winner. If you're one of those people who wants to know Jesus better, I promise you tonight that I'm going to give you money-back guarantee on this matter of knowing Jesus better. I'm going to show you in the Bible how you can know Him better. If you're one of those people that wants to always stay in the will of God, what I'm going to show you tonight is a foolproof way that you will never leave the will of God if you do what I preach tonight in this message, what I show you from the Bible. If you tonight are one of those people that doubts your salvation, if you will listen to me and do what the Bible says in this passage tonight, you will never again worry about doubting your salvation. If you're one of those people that is afraid that someday you may stumble and fall, I don't mean fall from salvation. I mean fall in salvation. If you're afraid that one of these days you may be a backslider out of God's will, out of church, out of fellowship with God and living in the world, I'm going to show you tonight the same thing that will keep you, make you know God better, make you a better soul winner, make you always in the will of God, and make you never doubt your salvation, and arrange so you will never fall in from usefulness and from the perfect will of God for your life. You'll never hear a hunk of truth like this. It's right here in the Bible. By the way, take your coats up. We had a coat to fall off of the night. It scared somebody to death. Don't put your coats over those rails up there. We had a coat to fall off of the night. We almost had a heart attack, really. And the person that almost had it was a person who couldn't get their coat back from the person that it hit on the bottom floor. But now, so set up straight, look right this way, and listen to me. Because, you know, this is a... You talk about a lot for the dollar you gave tonight. This is something. How to be a better soul winner. How to know Jesus. How to always be in the will of God. How to never doubt your salvation. And how to be guaranteed you'll never fall. I come to my passage tonight, and this is truly an amazing passage. I want you to notice first in verse number 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 8. For if these things, now don't forget those two words, these things, if these things be in you and abound, there it is now, and abound, the word abound means to run over. If you are full to running over with these things, don't forget the term, these things, and they make you that ye shall never be barren or unfruitful. Hold it right there. Look at me a minute. God said, if these things abound in you, whatever these things are, if these things abound in you and run over in you, the Bible says you'll never be barren. That means you'll always be a soul winner. You'll never be unfruitful. That means you'll always be a soul winner. That means when you're 45, you'll still be a soul winner. That means when you're 75, you'll still be a soul winner. That means when you're 95, if you're still alive, you'll still be a soul winner. It's right there in the Bible. These things, if they abound in you, they'll make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Now look at the rest of that verse. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that if you do these things, there they are, these things, there's that term, these things, you'll never be unfruitful, you'll never be barren, and you will abound in the knowledge, you'll be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how to know Him better? Then do these things. Look at me now. You want to know how to be fruitful? Then do these things. You want to know how to be a good soul winner? Then do these things. That's what it says. All right. Now, if you would please, look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. But he that lacketh, there's that term, these things. He that lacketh these things, whatever these things are, is blind and cannot see afar off. What does that say? That means he cannot see the will of God for his life. He is blinded from what path he ought to walk. He is blinded from what course he ought to take. Look at me. He says, if you do not do these things, there's that little term again, these things. Now, don't look in your Bibles. I want you to follow me in your Bible now. And I'm going to tell you what to read. Read it and follow me carefully, and I want to show you step by step. All right? It says that if you don't do these things, you're blind and cannot see afar off, which means you cannot know God's will. All right, let's go back contrary to that. If you abound in these things, you're not blind and you can see afar off. And you can know the will of God for your life. Now, so far we've learned that if we do these things, we can be soul winners and always will be. If we do these things, we'll know God, know Christ in His fullness. If we do these things, we will always be able to see the far off and the will of God for our lives. All right? If you would please, look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling... Hold it. Go back to verse 9 again. Verse 9 again. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten, oh, look at this, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You see that? He that doesn't do, look at me now, these things. He that doesn't do these things, the Bible says, cannot know the will of God for his life, and will forget that he has been purged from his old sins. What does it mean? It means he'll doubt his salvation. So, if you do not do these... Look at me now. Look right here this way. If you do not do these things... Now, I'll get to what these things are in a minute. Don't you get ahead of me now. Because you'll get the sermon finished and you'll go home early. These things, whatever these things are... Boy, these must be some mighty things. I mean, must be some great and mighty deed we're supposed to do if it'll do all this thing. It must be some wonderful theological truth we've got to learn. Whatever it is, it must be a whopping big deal if it's going to cause us to know God better, if it's going to cause us to always be soul winners, if it's going to cause us to always know the will of God, if it's going to cause us to never doubt our salvation. There it is in verse number 9. If you lack these things, he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's why you doubt your salvation. You're not doing these things, the Bible says. Now look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do, O my soul, there it is again, these things. If you do these things, you'll never fall. Now we add that to it. These things, look right this way. These things, whatever they are, assure you that you will always be fruitful and never barren. You'll always be a soul winner. Whatever these things are, if you do these things, you will always see and know the will of God for your life. If you do these things, you will never doubt your salvation, and the failure to do these things will cause you to forget that you're saved, the Bible says. Now then, it says in verse number 10, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, there it is again, these things, you will never fall. My soul, look at me, my soul, what a powerful thing, whatever it is, these things are, what powerful things they must be. If you do these things, you'll never stop being a soul winner. You will get to know Jesus in His fullness. You will never doubt your salvation. You will always know the will of God for your life, and you will never fall. It will never be in your life that you'll ever be backslidden and outside the will of God if ye do these things. Now look down to verse number 12, please. Wherefore, I will not be negligent, brother, not negligent, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Now look this way again. What's he saying? Paul is saying, I'm not going to let you forget these things. Well, I guess he shouldn't. Good night. You got a vitamin pill here that'll cure everything you got wrong with you. It's got all the mineral and all the vitamins in one pill. These things. What these things can do. I go over it again. What these things can do. You'll always be a soul winner. You will know Christ in His fullness.
You will always know and see and have revealed to you the clear will of God for your life. People all over this room want to know God's will for your life. Bible said you do these things, you won't be blind. You can see afar off. You can see God's will. You'll never doubt your salvation. I'm talking to folks all over this room tonight. You have periods of time where you doubt your salvation. I'll tell you, you're not doing these things. Because these things will cause you not to doubt your salvation. And you'll never fall. You'll never be outside the will of God. You'll never be outside the church. You'll never be following afar off. You'll always be close to God. You'll never fall into sin. I don't mean you'll never sin, but you'll never live a life of sin. And you'll never, what we call, fall. You'll never do it. So I'm saying, what a tremendous thing this is, whatever these things are. Now look down, if you would please, to verse number 15, Paul said. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease, that's his death, to have these things always in remembrance. Now look this way. Paul said these things are so powerful and so potent that I am going to remind you and 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 remind you so that after I'm gone, you will not have forgotten. Now, five times we've seen that little term, these things. Paul said, these things will keep you from not being a soul winner. They'll help you to know Christ in His fullness. They will help you to always know the will of God in your life. And I'm repeating that over and over again because I want you to see the powerfulness and the potency of these things. He said you'll never fall, and he said you'll never doubt your salvation. Now you talk about, if tonight you could just find a way to all those things, always be a soul winner, know Christ in His fullness, always know the will of God, never leave the will of God for your life, never doubt the fact that you're saved, and never fall away from God and His perfect will for your life. What in the world these things must be? Wow! This must be some profound truth. This must be some deep theological discernment we're going to have to find. I mean, something that's got this much power in it. So all these five things... Listen, any one of these five things is worth doing what it says. But when you pack all five of these into one big package and say that these things... Well, good night. It must be some great deed we're supposed to perform. It must be some great accomplishment that we're supposed to achieve. It must be some great goal at which we're supposed to arrive. If He'll give us all of these things, all right? These things. Now then, I want you to look with me in a minute. If it does all this, I want to know what these things are. Five times you've had these things, and it tells us what these things will do. All right, look please, if you will, at verses 5 through 7, and we'll find out what these things are. And beside this, give diligence, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, he's assuming that you're saved. That's what saves you, is faith. Now then, next thing he says, add virtue. Next thing he says, and to virtue, knowledge. That's the second thing. And the third thing in verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance. That's the third thing. And to temperance, patience. That's the fourth thing. And to patience, godliness. That's the fifth thing. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's the sixth thing. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. That's the seventh thing. And for if these things be in you and abound, all right, now those seven things God says. It's disappointing to me. I'm disappointed. I thought God was going to say some big thing to do. If you get all this in one package for patience, brotherly kindness, that seems so insignificant. But that's what the Bible says, and I'm rather inclined to believe it. Now, I want to look at what these things are. So you look right this way, and we won't look at the Bible right now. But I want to just tell you what these things are. I mean, these things, these powerful things that will give us all this great package I've mentioned several times tonight. First one is virtue. Now, what is virtue? Virtue here means recognizing virtue. What it really means is praise, praising others. That's what it means, praising others. This word virtue, there are other words in the Bible that are translated virtue, but this word virtue means praising others. It means not criticizing. Now, look at me. I'm disappointed. I mean, God said, wow, I'll give you all the things I've told you about. I mean, you'll always be a soul winner. You'll know God in His fullness. You will always be in the will of God and know the will of God. You will never doubt your salvation. And you will never fall if you do these things. The first one is simply praising others. Now, of course, we surely will get some bigger ones than that. God's not going to take little piddling things like that and give us all these things for just a little piddling thing like that. Certainly we've got to scream and holler, and certainly we're going to have to build the biggest bus route in the church before we can have all... No, that's not what it says. It says simply praising others, and that means not criticizing others. Now, look at me carefully. Many of you are doubting your salvation because you've got a critical tongue. You don't know it, but the Bible says it. Many of you will stumble and fall. Oh, listen, I'll guarantee you, having a critical tongue is one of the first steps and earliest signs of falling away. I'm saying, God said, praise others. That means look for something to brag on about other people and praise them. And tell them what they're doing as well. Write them notes of praise. Honor them while they're still alive. Recognize what they do. That's what God says. God said, if you want this, don't criticize, but praise others. You know what fundamentalism needs? Fundamentalism needs an old-fashioned dose of the simple little verse, the first one you learned as a child, be ye kind one to another. That's what we need. I'll tell you, the people in America sometimes, I think, that treat each other the worst are fundamental people. I'm saying that God said, listen, that means that many of you are not soul winners because you're not praising others. What the Bible said, if you do these things, and this is one of these things, if you do all but this one, you'll not necessarily be a good soul winner. And many of you don't know Christ like you should know Him because you don't praise others. And many people here in this room tonight will not know the will of God for your life simply because you don't praise others. And many of you will doubt your salvation because you don't praise others. Now, listen, you say, Brother House, it's not that simple. You let God decide how simple it is. God said, if ye do these things, those five things I promised you, God said, will be yours. Okay, let's just get behind this little piddling one about praising others. Let's get to something big, boy. This is sort of silly. I don't get something big. Let's see what the next one is. Knowledge. Oh, brother. Why couldn't you have made it something big to accomplish? What is knowledge? The word knowledge here means, look at me, understanding others. That's what it means. Understanding others. What does it mean? Compassion. That's what it means. Somebody's got a burden. You understand it. You're understanding. That's what it means. What God is saying here, He's saying the biggest rewards that God has to offer are offered because we learn how to treat each other. Most important books I've written is that book on how to treat Christian people, different types of Christians. Now you listen to me. You sit in your dormitory room out there and criticize and don't get along with each other and don't have an understanding spirit and then you wonder why you're going to backslide, go home, wash up, end up out yonder in sin someday. Yeah, you sit in your WMS circle and criticize and don't praise. Or you sit in your Sunday school class meeting or your departmental meeting and you sit there with a critical tongue and a critical nature and you don't praise people and don't understand people, Don't you be surprised when you're not a soul winner, and don't you be surprised when your fellowship with God is severed, and don't you be surprised when you're floundering away from God's will, and don't you be surprised when you fall into away from God into awful sin, and don't you be surprised when you doubt the fact even that you are saved. God said, these things will keep you assured that you're saved, a soul winner, knowing God, not the guarantee you won't fall, and keep you in God's will. These things. First one of these things, very simple, praising others. Second one of these things, understanding others. Oh boy, be glad we get down to the big ones. Certainly God's not going to stick with this little piddling stuff. Let me tell you something. We make Christianity far too complicated. Far too complicated. It's not that complicated. No, sir. God says there's some things. If you'll do it, you can have these five things I've given you. And God says there's seven things. If you'll have these seven things, He said you can have these other things. Hey, see, somebody writes a big old long book, 100 pages on how to be sure you're saved. I can give it in two verses. These things. You won't forget that your sins have been forgiven. You know why? Because God is the one that's the reminder. And you do these things that God tells you to do, and God reminds you that you're saved. My Bible says that His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm His child. And God said, my Spirit will tell you you're saved if you'll do these things. What are these things? Well, first it says, praising others. Of course, I'm sure this is just a little thing getting ready for the main event later on. And the second one says, understanding others. Okay, let's get on to the bigger ones. Third, temperance. Oh, brother. What a letdown this whole verse, the whole chapter is. What a discouragement this is. I wanted to accomplish something big and earn these five things. I wanted to learn some deep theological truth. Some of you freshman theologians, you think you know about the Bible than Brother Hiles does. You get on your piddling bus route and you contradict what's preached on this pulpit here. I wouldn't give a dime for your Christianity. Not a dime for it. You see that finger right there, Hiles Anderson College students? More brains than that finger you got in your head. You see that preacher, boys? More brains than that, half that finger you got in your head. Oh, you're big. You're somebody. You can say, well, Brother Hiles and I don't agree. Oh, pfft. You remind me of a little banny hen laying a little bitty egg and look like she laid a dinosaur's egg. You don't know more Bible than I do. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't know more Bible than Jorgensen does. No, you don't know more Bible than the faculty members do at Hiles Anderson College. No, you're not such a hot shot. You want to get some deep, abiding truth. That a word of knowledge.
Come here. Stand up.
That's what you want. That's the way you want to get God's power. That's where you want to get assurance. That's where you want to get... See, you'll never. But God says, behave yourself with each other, and that's the way you get it. Now, God says, praise each other. That's number one. If you do these things, praise one another. What else? Understand one another. What else? Temperance. Oh, brother. That means restraint. That means when you want to talk back, you don't talk back. Look at me. Hey, look at me. Put your pens down. Look at me. I'm preaching to you. I want to transform your life tonight. It's not giving you a sermon to preach somewhere. I want to transform your life. Look at me. Restraint. What does it mean? Somebody says something, you don't talk back. What it means? Even if they're wrong and you're right, you don't say, let me tell you something, brother. Watch out, you just lost the will of God for your life. Watch out, you just lost one of these things. And especially is that true when you could crush somebody and don't. I've told our preacher boys at Hiles Anderson College again and again and again, the most powerful force in this world is power restrained. The most powerful force in this world is when you could crush somebody and you don't crush somebody. Most powerful force in this world is when you could talk back and you don't talk back. Let's just put it down where the tire hits the pavement. Some of you wives are talking back to your husbands too much when they fuss at you. Well, you say, if they fuss at me, I got a right to fuss back at them. You also got a right to doubt your salvation if you want to. You also got a right to leave the will of God if you want to. Now, he's wrong and I'm right. Doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. I'm talking about but you being right with him. I'm talking to you about you being right with him. And the Bible says restraint. It's time that when your husband fusses at you, you restrain retaliation. It's time when your wife gets on you, you restrain retaliation. It's time when your roommate gets on you, you restrain retaliation. It's time when your brother or sister gets at you, you restrain retaliation. Well, you say you're taking their side. I'm not taking their side. I'm taking your side. I'm trying to get you so you can know the will of God. You can always be a soul winner. You can know the Savior in His fullness. You will not doubt your salvation, and you will never fall. What a discouragement this passage is. Oh, and I read about these things. I thought maybe if I memorized 40 chapters of the Bible is what I need to do. Or learn the great doctrines of the faith. No. Bible said, if you want these five things, you do these things. What are they? Praise each other. Don't criticize. Understand each other's problems. And don't fight back. Restrain yourself. That's what temperance is, to temper something. You've got the power, but you hold it back. That's not power. That's power. Let me say it again. That's not power. That's power. When you've got the power... Don't let that scare you, folks. I saw you fellows trembling and you women drooling all of a sudden when I did that. Don't let that scare you. It's here for your protection, not to hurt you with. But when you've got the power where you can use it, you can get back and you can win. And you say, I know you won't. You say, no, you won't. No, you won't. You stay there. Takes more power to stop it. If you don't believe it, try to stop Niagara Falls sometimes. Like the Texan who said, it's a pretty big leak in that thing. We got a plumber down in Texas who could fix it. And then the other fellow said, that's right. That was funny. But I try to stop Niagara Falls. Listen, it takes more power to stop Niagara Falls than for Niagara Falls to run. Now it's time you quit fighting back. I'm talking about human relationships. I'm talking about getting along with each other. Well, you say, Brother House, you know how brothers and sisters fight. Yes, I know how brothers and sisters fall, too. But my Bible said, if you want to not fall, if you want to not doubt your salvation, if you want to know the will of God for your life and be in the will of God, if you want to know Jesus in His fullness, and if you want to always be fruitful and never barren, my Bible says the first thing you've got to do is praise people, and the second thing you've got to do is understand the problems of people, and the third thing you've got to do is restrain. Be strong enough to hold back. Come on, God. Let's get down to the big ones. I'm tired of this fiddling stuff. You listen to me. Far too many Christians, especially these television evangelists, trying to make so complicated God's plan for your life. God is simply saying, if you learn how to behave yourself toward each other, God is saying, I got some things I'll give you that are the greatest riches you'll ever get and the greatest reward you'll ever get. Don't come because some fella put your hand there on the radio. And get you a little oil and put it on your hand and put it on your head. You say, well, how will that do anything? Sure, I'm going to give you an oily head. God said, I've got some giant things to give you. And I said, God, tell me what they are. He said, praise each other. He said, understand each other. He said, don't fight back. Restrain. Well, that's sort of boring to me. I was looking for something big. I feel like Naaman right now. Naaman said, "Are not the rivers of Pharpar and Abana better than this old dirty Jordan River?" Elijah said, "You wash in the Jordan." "I'm not going to wash in the Jordan. I want to do something big." Elijah said, "Go home and scratch your sores then." You want to do something big. You want to learn some false doctrine like lordship salvation. No heresy in America that's condemning souls of men any more than that false doctrine. You'll never make Jesus your Lord till you awaken His likeness. You never will. And it's works salvation. It's Arminianism at its dirtiest. All you've got to do to get saved is realize you're a sinner and Jesus the Savior and trust the Savior. That's all you've got to do. And that's always been the great Baptist position. That's always been the great Baptist message. Anything else is heresy. Anything else is heresy. Anything else is heresy. Well, I'll be hoping to get something bigger. Sort of disappointed here. I sure want to do something big for God so it impress God. He'd give me all these things. He said, praise others and understand others and have temperance. Let's see what the next one is. Patience. Oh, brother. Patience. You can't get offerings from the radio people preaching that. Try it sometime. Get on the radio, some of you radio moguls. Get on the radio. Preach a sermon on patience and see how much offering you get. But God's not trying to raise any offering. God's trying to give you assurance of your salvation. God's trying to see you never fall. God's trying to see you'll stay fruitful. God's trying to see that you'll know Jesus better. And God's trying to see that you'll always be in His will. He said, if you do these things, never fall. And He said, the first one is virtue. The second is knowledge. The third is temperance. And the fourth is patience. Now, what is patience? Simple. Continued temperance. That's all it is. Temperance is restraint. When you could fight back and you don't. When you could crush somebody, but you don't do it. It's continued to turn the other cheek. Now listen to me. Such statements as this. I've taken about all I can take. Well, don't you expect to know you're saved, brother? Because that the Bible says patience. I'm about at the end of my rope. Go down to the hardware store and buy a bigger rope. Well, that's the straw that broke a camel's back. Buy a stronger camel. That's the world's talk. That's the world's talk. God said, patience. That's continued restraint. That means that you don't fight back and you continue not to fight back. That means you don't retaliate and you continue not to retaliate. That means you don't talk back. Listen, the average abode, dwelling place in this room is a place that fosters doubt, that fosters not knowing the will of God. Why? Because the average place of abode in this room is a hell. You know why? I often said this. In anybody's house, in anybody's dormitory room, in anybody's barracks, if one person's a good Christian, you can have peace. Doesn't take both. If one. If one. Guy walks up, hits you in the cheek. You say, look, I wasn't a good target then. Let me make it easier for you. It's no fun to hit a guy like that. I'm simply saying God offers you the greatest things the Bible has to offer and the greatest thing. Look, can you think of anything greater than winning souls to Christ? Can you think of anything greater than knowing Jesus Christ? Can you think of anything greater than always being in the will of God? Can you think of anything greater than never doubting the fact that your name is written in heaven? Can you think of anything greater than a guarantee that you'll never fall? And what do you have to do? Praise others, understand others, restrain yourself and continue to restrain yourself. That's it. Brother House, I've just doubted, and I've doubted, and I've doubted, and I've doubted. Okay! Then start praising others. Okay, understand others. Okay, restrain yourself. Okay, keep on restraining yourself. Of course, you want some deep Bible study that Dr. Fatmouth brought up. You want some correspondence course on assurance. You don't need a correspondence course on assurance. I have a correspondence course on assurance. Right here. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Sort of boring, isn't it? Patience. Well, we'll get to the big ones. Godliness. Oh, brother. We're almost through. If you don't straighten up up there, we're not going to have anything much to do. Godliness. What's godliness? A godly attitude. What does that mean? Your heart's right toward others. That's what it means. Your heart's right. You don't have bitterness in your heart. A lot of you folks tonight are doubting your salvation because you hate somebody. A lot of your folks are blinded to the will of God because there's something in your heart against somebody. You ought to get it down. Yeah. Well, you say, then they're wrong. Okay, they may be wrong. Why ruin yourself because they're wrong? Years ago, I had a fellow said he'd destroy me. Years ago, he said he'd destroy me. Boy, I got bitter in my heart against him. I was laying there one night. I couldn't sleep, and I hadn't slept for nights. I decided I'd call him on the phone, tell him off. He answered the phone, sounded like he was barely awake. And I said, I want to talk to you. He said, I'll wake you up. Yeah, I've been asleep for hours. I got thinking, that dirty buzzard's over there sleeping while I'm awake. I decided to get that bitterness out of my heart. I decided not to hate anybody. You see, you want to know why you don't know Christ better? Hatred. You want to know why you don't know God's will? Something in your heart against somebody. You want to know why you're going to fall? Something in your heart against somebody. Boy, here it is. Simple as day. Two and two is four. No simpler than this. How can I have these five things? How can I be a soul winner always? How can I know Christ better? How can I always know and be in the will of God? How can I never doubt my salvation? How can I never fall and be assured I never fall? Very simple. Praise others, understand others, restrain yourself, keep on restraining yourself, and have a godly attitude toward everybody in the whole world. God, you only got two chances now. Seven of them, we already hit five. You got two chances to get something big and interesting. Look at the next one. Oh, boy. Brotherly kindness. I don't understand God. He ought to know I can do better than this. He ought to know I can put my hand on Keith McKinney and make him fall. He ought to know I've got a word of knowledge. Fool you on all these words of knowledge. I got words of knowledge right here. I've got my whole life to study. This word of knowledge mess, and some of you folks sit there and watch it, 700 Club, PTL Club, all that garbage, all of it, nothing more than adding to the Word of God. And my Bible says, you add to the Word of God, the plagues of this book will be added to you. Fool you on your word of knowledge. Get back in the Bible. Hold it. Hold it. I see a quivering gallbladder. It's shaking right now. Hold it. Hold it. I see a dark gizzard. You don't see anything of the kind. Anybody can think up that. Why don't you open your Bible and teach the Word of God to them? Brotherly kindness. The word brotherly kindness is the word comes from the word adelphos. And kindness is the word phileo, and adelphos is part of that. It means simply proper treatment of any people with whom you share an endeavor. Look right this way. One of these things that you've got to do to have these five wonderful, wonderful gifts from God is you've got to treat kindly everybody with whom you share an endeavor. All right, now with whom do you share an endeavor? Your family. How do you treat your family? Some of you guys are bears. Some of you gals are bearesses. Some of you teenagers need to get right with God and ask God to forgive you for the way you grouch at home. And some of you men ought to ask God to forgive you for the fact that your family dreads for you to walk inside the door. And some of you women ought to ask God to forgive you because your kids have to stuff their ears to hear you keep them hearing you scream so loud. Plain old ordinary brotherly kindness. Plain old ordinary proper treatment of anybody with you whom you share an endeavor. What does that mean? I share an endeavor with these men on the platform. That means I'm supposed to treat them properly. That means folks that you teach with, if you're a school teacher, you're supposed to treat them properly. That means your neighbors, you're supposed to treat properly. That means the folks you work with on the job, you're supposed to treat properly. A lot of you folks are doubting your salvation because you're unkind to folks you work with. That's what God says. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just showing what God said. If ye do these things, you'll never fall. You'll never doubt. You'll never wonder what the will of God is. You'll know Christ better. And you'll be fruitful and never barren. How do you treat people? How do you treat folks at home? How do you treat folks at work? How do you treat folks at school? How do you treat people with whom you share some endeavor? Brother, look at me. It's a mighty sorry bargain for you to chance leaving the will of God, falling from God's purpose for your life, doubting your salvation, not knowing Christ very well, and not being a soul winner, just so you can get it off your chest. You drove a sorry bargain on that one. Brother, if God comes to me and tells me I can have these big things for these little things, I think I found a pretty good deal. It's time we had a revival of brotherly kindness. It's time we had a revival of courtesy. It's time we had a revival of treating each other decently. I can't stand him. Well, get right with God. It's time we had a revival of being kind to each other. It's time we had a revival of gentleness. Some of you Elijahs here at Howells Anderson College, you want to pray down fire. You don't have to pray it down. You already got it in your bosom. You pray down fire every time you go home. Unlock your wife's cell. Let her out for a while. Tell her all the things she's done wrong since you left. Wouldn't give you a dime for your praying down fire. You want to be a great man of God, then you be a patient man. You want to be a great man of God, you be a gentle man. You want to be a great man of God, you be a kind man. You want to be a great man of God, you be a loving man. You want to be a great man of God, you be a courteous man. Well, I got one more chance to do something big. To be quite frank with you, God, this is not what I had in mind. Praising others, understanding others, restraint, continued restraint, good attitude, and be ye kind one to another. Who grumble on Friday, grumble on Saturday, grumble the whole week through, crumb, 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 crumb. Talking to you grouches. Well, you say, Brother Howell, I have a low boiling point. Cool off. No, you don't have any lower boiling point than anybody else has. Well, I got a short fuse. No, your fuse is the same length everybody else's is. My Bible says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Well, I'm by nature, I'm hot-tempered. It runs in my family. Yeah, it runs in the human family. But there's no excuse for it. A lot of you guys are going to grope for the will of God the rest of your life because you're a bear to live with, an ogre. A lot of you women, the Bible said it's better to live on a housetop or in the attic than live with you. You know what's in the attic? Rats. That's what God said. God said, I'd rather fellowship with a rat than a brawling woman. You see, your problem is you want something big. God says, be kind, understanding, praise, restrain, patient, gentle. Well, we've got one more chance here. Oh, brother, love. Oh, my soul. Everybody knows fundamentalists don't love. 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 Good night. We don't serve a loving God. We serve a powerful, mean God. God, and that word love is agape. I want to teach you something. Every one of these things incorporates the ones that preceded it. For example, when you understand others, that incorporates praising others. When you restrain yourself, that means you understand others and praise others too. When you continue to restrain, that means you restrain, you praise others, and you understand others. When you have a godly attitude, then you praise others, understand others, restrain, keep restraining. When you have brotherly kindness, you have all the other. And when you have love, it's a combination of all the preceding. Agape, deep, abiding love. God said, if you have these things, but now there's something else he said, you run over with them. Now hear me carefully. Don't leave me now, and I'm about through. He says, don't you leave any room in the glass for anything else. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't you leave room. He said, you be so full of this, there won't be any room for unkindness. No room for impatience. No room for not restraining yourself. No room for criticizing. He said, you fill the vessel to the top and overflowing with these things. And what do you get? You get the five things I mentioned a while ago. What a bargain. But what a letdown. Is that all there is to it? And God looks down and said, yep, that's about all you can handle. It's easier to get a word of knowledge than it is to be patient. It's easier to blow your stack than it is to refrain from blowing your stack. Did you know, fellas and ladies, did you know there are times when your spouse says something to you that and you don't agree, that you don't really have to tell her you don't agree or tell him you don't agree? I just don't believe that. Did you know that it is not required by God that you say that? Now, you call that restraint. Well, I just don't see how I was so-and-so. Did you know there's nothing in the Bible that says you've got to say that? Why don't you have restraint? Well, praise God. There's one good thing about this. I can do all these things. Take your Bibles, open to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's stop where we started. Now we know what it teaches. Let's look at it. Look at verse number 8. For if these things, we know what they are now, don't we? If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. A lot of you folks think, with the church, that we think you're a pretty good Christian, but the truth is you're blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, these seven things, ye shall never fall. Verse 12. Wherefore, I put you in, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. He's saying, you know to be kind, but I'm not going to let you forget it anyway. And in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now look at me. Let's just be honest. How's your disposition? That's what it's talking about. How's your disposition? Well, he's hard to get along with. Okay, then get right with God. And be easy to get along with. I've often said, you're looking right now at the easiest man in America to get along with. A lot of people you've got to get along with to do 10 or 15 things to get along with them, not me. You do one thing, you can get along with me, and that's just do what I say. You won't find anything except for that. These things. What are these things? Basically, turn the other cheek. That's what it is. What is it? Agree with thine adversary. That's what it is. Bless those that curse you. That's what it is. Pray for those that spitefully use you. That's what it is. You're not a very good Christian, are you? Oh, you can pray louder than anybody else when you have a prayer meeting. You got the loudest voice of all. Oh, God! You go home and say to your wife, oh, Agnes! You're pretty sorry Christian, aren't you? Not much to you, is there? What a God makes it so easy for us. Didn't say a word here about praying down fire from heaven. Didn't say a word here about cloven tongues with a fire sitting on each of us. It is said. Talk good about people. Understand their burdens. Don't fight back. Keep on not fighting back. Have a good attitude. Be kind to everybody. And love. And in response to those simple things, the great God in heaven says, this is what you got. What? You'll always be fruitful. What else? You'll know Jesus. What else? You'll always be able to see His will. What else? You'll never doubt your salvation. What else? You'll never fall. I'm going to take him up on that. Let's bow our heads, please.